First Samuel 1 through 2:21. Now there was a man from Ramathaim Zophim, from the hill country of Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zoph, an Ephraimite. And he had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other, Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. Now this man would go up from his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice to the Lord of armies in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were priests to the Lord there. When the day came that Elkanah sacrificed, he would give portions to his wife Peninnah and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah he would give a double portion, because he loved Hannah, but the Lord had closed her womb. Her rival, moreover, would provoke her bitterly to irritate her, because the Lord had closed her womb. And it had happened year after year, as often as she went up to the house of the Lord, that she would provoke her. So she wept and would not eat. Then Elkanah, her husband, would say to her, "Hannah, why do you weep? And why do you not eat? And why is your heart sad? Am I not better to you than 10 sons? Then Hannah got up after eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the temple of the Lord. She greatly distressed and prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. And she made a vow and said, "Lord of armies, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your bondservant and remember me, and not forget your bondservant, but will give your bondservant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and a razor shall never come on his head." Now it came about, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli was watching her mouth. As for Hannah, she was speaking in her heart. Only her lips were quivering, but her voice was not heard. So Eli thought that she was drunk. Then Eli said to her, "How long will you behave like a drunk? Get rid of your wine." But Hannah answered and said, "No, my lord, I am a woman despairing in spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have poured out my soul before the Lord. Do not consider your bondservant a useless woman, for I have spoken until now out of my great concern and provocation." Then Eli answered and said, "Go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant your request that you have asked of him." She said, "Let your bondservant find favor in your sight." So the woman went on her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. Then they got up early in the morning and worshipped before the Lord, and returned again to the house in Ramah. And Elkanah had relations with Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. It came about in due time, after Hannah had conceived, that she gave birth to a son, and she named him Samuel, saying, "Because I have asked for him of the Lord." Then the man Elkanah went up with all his household to offer to the Lord the yearly sacrifice and to pay his vow. But Hannah did not go up, for she said to her husband, "I will not go until the child is weaned, then I will bring him, so that he may appear before the Lord and stay there for life." Elkanah, her husband, said to her, "Do what seems best to you. Stay until you have weaned him. Only may the Lord confirm his word." So the woman stayed and nursed her son until she weaned him. Now, when she had weaned him, she took him up with her, with a 3-year-old bull, 1 ephah of flour, and a jug of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord in Shiloh, although the child was young. Then they slaughtered the bull and brought the boy to Eli. And she said, "Pardon me, my lord. As your soul lives, my lord, I am the woman who stood here beside you, praying to the Lord. For this boy I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my request, which I asked of him. So I have also dedicated him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is dedicated to the Lord. And he worshipped the Lord there. Then Hannah prayed and said, My heart rejoices in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth speaks boldly against my enemies, because I rejoice in your salvation. There is no one holy like the Lord. Indeed, there is no one besides you. Nor is there any rock like our God. Do not go on boasting so very proudly. Do not let arrogance come out of your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and with him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty are broken to pieces, but those who have stumbled strap on strength. Those who were full hire themselves out for bread, but those who were hungry cease to be hungry. Even the infertile woman gives birth to seven, but she who has many children languishes. The Lord puts to death and makes alive. He brings down to Sheol and brings up. The Lord makes poor and rich. He humbles, he also exalts. He raises the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the garbage heap, to seat them with the nobles. And he gives them a seat of honor as an inheritance. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he set the world on them. He watches over the feet of his godly ones. But the wicked ones are silenced in darkness. For not by might shall a person prevail. Those who contend with the Lord will be terrified. Against them he will thunder in the heavens. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth, and he will give strength to his king, and will exalt the horn of his anointed. Then Elkanah went to his home in Ramah, but the boy continued to attend to the service of the Lord before Eli the priest. Now the sons of Eli were useless men. They did not know the Lord. And this was the custom of the priests with the people. When anyone was offering a sacrifice, the priest's servant would come while the meat was cooking, with a three-pronged fork in his hand. And he would thrust it into the pan, or kettle, or cauldron, or pot. Everything that the fork brought up, the priest would take for himself. They did so in Shiloh to all the Israelites who came there. Also, before they burned the fat, the priest's servant would come and say to the man who was sacrificing, Give the priest meat for roasting, as he will not take cooked meat from you, only raw. And if the man said to him, They must burn the fat first, then take as much as you desire. Then he would say, No, but you must give it to me now, and if not, I am taking it by force. And so the sin of the young man was very great before the Lord, for the men treated the offering of the Lord disrespectfully. Now Samuel was ministering before the Lord, as a boy wearing a linen ephod. And his mother would make for him a little robe and bring it up to him from year to year when she would come up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. Then Eli would bless Elkanah and his wife. May the Lord give you children from this woman in place of the one she requested of the Lord. And they went to their home. The Lord indeed visited Hannah, and she conceived and gave birth to three sons and two daughters. And the boy Samuel grew up before the Lord. Mark 8. In those days, when there was again a large crowd, and they had nothing to eat, Jesus summoned his disciples, and said to them, I feel compassion for the people, because they have remained with me for 3 days already, and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away hungry to their homes, they will faint on their way, and some of them have come from a great distance. And his disciples replied to him, Where will anyone be able to find enough bread in this desolate place to satisfy these people? And he was asking them, How many loaves do you have? And they said, Seven. And he directed the people to recline on the ground, and taking seven loaves, he gave thanks and broke them, and started giving them to his disciples to serve, and they served them to the people. They also had a few small fish, and after he had blessed them, he told the disciples to serve these as well, And they ate and were satisfied. And they picked up 7 large baskets full of what was left over of the broken pieces. About 4,000 men were there, and he dismissed them. And immediately he got into the boat with his disciples, and came to the region of Dalmanutha. And the Pharisees came out and began to argue with him, demanding from him a sign from heaven to test him. Sighing deeply in his spirit, he said, "Why does this generation demand a sign? Truly I say to you, no sign will be given to this generation." And leaving them, he again embarked and went away to the other side. And the disciples had forgotten to take bread, and did not have more than 1 loaf in the boat with them. And he was giving orders to them, saying, "Watch out, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, and the leaven of Herod." And they began to discuss with one another the fact that they had no bread. And Jesus, aware of this, said to them, "Why are you discussing the fact that you have no bread? Do you not yet comprehend or understand? Do you still have your heart hardened? Having eyes, do you not see? Having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember, when I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000, how many baskets full of broken pieces you picked up?" They said to him, 12. "When I broke the 7 for the 4,000, how many large baskets full of broken pieces did you pick up?" And they said to him, 7. And he was saying to them, "Do you not yet understand?" And they came to Bethsaida, and some people brought a man who was blind to Jesus, and begged him to touch him. Taking the man who was blind by the hand, he brought him out of the village, and after spitting in his eyes and laying his hands on him, he asked, "Do you see anything?" And he looked up and said, "I see people, for I see them like trees, walking around." Then again he laid his hands on his eyes, and he looked intently and was restored, and began to see everything clearly. And he sent him to his home, saying, "Do not even enter the village." Jesus went out, along with his disciples, to the villages of Caesarea Philippi. And on the way he questioned his disciples, saying to them, "Who do people say that I am?" They told him, saying, "John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others one of the prophets." And he continued questioning them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered and said to him, "You are the Christ." And he warned them to tell no one about him. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things, and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise from the dead. And he was stating the matter plainly. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning around and seeing his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are not setting your mind on God's purposes, but on man's." And he summoned the crowd together with his disciples and said to them, "If anyone wants to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what does it benefit a person to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? For what could a person give in exchange for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will also be ashamed of him when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." Hebrews 2. For this reason, we must pay closer attention to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away from it. For if the word spoken through the angels proved unalterable, and every violation and act of disobedience received a just punishment, how will we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? After it was first spoken through the Lord, it was confirmed to us by those who heard, God also testifying with them, both by signs and wonders, and by various miracles, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. for he did not subject to angels the worlds to come, about which we are speaking. But someone has testified somewhere, saying, What is man that you think of him? Or a son of man that you are concerned about him? You have made him for a little while lower than angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor. You have put everything in subjection under his feet. For in subjecting all things to him, he left nothing that is not subject to him. But now we do not yet see all things subjected to him. But we do see him who was made for a little while lower than the angels, namely Jesus, because of his suffering death, crowned with glory and honor, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting for him, for whom are all things, and through whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to perfect the originator of their salvation through sufferings. Both he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified are all from one Father. For this reason he is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters, saying, I will proclaim your name to my brothers. In the midst of the assembly I will sing your praise. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children whom God has given me. Therefore, since the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise also partook of the same, so that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is, the devil, and free those who, through the fear of death, were subject to slavery all their lives. For clearly he does not give help to angels, but he gives help to the descendants of Abraham. Therefore, in all things he had to be made like his brothers, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For since he himself was tempted in that which he has suffered, he is able to come to the aid of those who are tempted. Proverbs 13:17-25. A wicked messenger falls into adversity, but a faithful messenger brings healing. Poverty and shame will come to one who neglects discipline, but one who complies with rebuke will be honored. Desire is sweet to the soul, but it is an abomination to fools to turn away from evil. One who walks with the wise people will be wise, but a companion of fools will suffer harm. Adversity pursues sinners, but the righteous will be rewarded with prosperity. A good person leaves an inheritance to his grandchildren, and the wealth of a sinner is stored up for the righteous. Abundant food is the uncultivated ground of the poor, but it is swept away by injustice. He who withholds his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him diligently. The righteous has enough to satisfy his appetite, but the stomach of the wicked is in need. Psalm 106:1-12. Praise the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy is everlasting. Who can speak of the mighty deeds of the Lord, or can proclaim all his praise? How blessed are those who maintain justice, who practice righteousness at all times. Remember me, Lord, in your favor toward your people. Visit me with your salvation, so that I may see the prosperity of your chosen ones, that I may rejoice in the joy of your nation, that I may boast with your inheritance. We have sinned like our fathers. We have gone astray. We have behaved wickedly. Our fathers in Egypt did not understand your wonders. They did not remember your abundant kindnesses, but rebelled by the sea, at the Red Sea. Nevertheless, he saved them for the sake of his name, so that he might make his power known. He rebuked the Red Sea and dried it up, and he led them through the mighty waters, as through the wilderness. So he saved them from the hand of one who hated them, and redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. The waters covered their adversaries. Not one of them was left. Then they believed his words. They sang his praise.